When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. And yes, it's been busy, you know. We've been busy. Not only is childbirth a busy time, but also we're talking about what's going on in Colombia. And, as I speak, the FILBO, the Feria Internacional del Libro de Bogotá, is on. It's been going on for the last week or so, and it'll be going on for another week. It's the invited countries, or the invitation has not gone out to a country per se, but to Macondo. Yes, could you imagine that? The fictitious location of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, created by the Nobel Prize winning author Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Macondo, the town in 100 years of solitude. So that is the guest nation this time. So there's a huge pavilion, I have to say. I've been down there. There's a huge pavilion, which is all sort of, you know, it's theoretical, it's very much tactile, it's very much visual. It's very interesting indeed. So there's one, you know, based only around Gabriel Garcia Marquez, his works. You can see all sorts of first editions, things that refer to Aracataca or Macondo there, the flying ants and so on and so forth. So this book fair, if you are in Bogota, is a must. You must come down and visit the book fair at Corferias, open from about 8 in the morning until God knows when. I know that on Friday last week it was open till midnight. So it was free from 6 p.m. till midnight. And my heart goes out to those people who had to work until midnight. Who knows how many people there at midnight. One year I might turn up at midnight. In fact, this year would be ideal because my little son James manages to wake up around that time. And you know what? I could probably take him down and do a two-hour, you know, walkabout around the different pavilions there at the Corferias, looking at books, and probably nap in a corner while he, is awake and determined to fracture my sleep patterns. Such is the life with a 2.5-week-year-old son. Anyway, so that is what's going on. You know what's going on in Colombia at the moment because you've been listening to the show. So I'm going to, in the next section of the show, I'm going to go into a little bit more about what's been going on. But also in the third section of the show, I'm very excited that I managed to get hold of Alex Torrenegra, the CEO, director of Bunny Inc. That's a startup company. He's a Colombian startup entrepreneur, an internet entrepreneur based anywhere from Bogota to San Francisco. But he was in San Francisco when we got to talk to him. And we're talking about the startup environment. He employs mainly Colombians, but he's there in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, which, of course, is where you need to be in this industry. And we talk about an article he wrote on his website about the difficulties of being a startup entrepreneur in Colombia. And in the next session, I'm going to read part of that out to put you in the driving seat for the interview so you will understand the background of this interview. But to speak to Alex Torrenegra, who was, you know, put up there by MIT as being, you know, one of the top startup gurus of recent years, and the fact he's Colombian and the fact that he wants to talk to us was really flattering. And I think those of you out there with any interest in starting a business or creating a startup or or getting involved in Colombia will be particularly interested in this interview. Of course, he's a very busy guy, so we only get 25 minutes with him. So that's why you're going to have to listen to me for a little bit more. But equally, it's a fantastic interview, and we are very honored to have him on the show and talking about the realities of Colombia and the realities of what it's like in the business world. So it sort of tethers in a little bit to the whole sort of Bogota Book Fair a little bit, because, you know, there are those of us launching books during this book fair. And again, in the next section of this show, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Was Gabo an Irishman? And, you know, it's a big thank you to those of you out there who contributed and those of you out there who have bought the book already, because I know that it's starting to sell. And I was there at a book signing last Friday at the Feria del Libro, and it was a real learning curve. So I'd like to talk about this a little bit more. Because I know that people don't know about these things. And I didn't know about this until last Friday. I didn't know about the realities of these things. Anyway, get in touch with us. We've had some great emails in the past. Of course, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com. Our website, columbiacallingradio.com. And Twitter, Columbia Calling. Facebook, Columbia Calling as well. And we put up all of our things on there. So don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break, talking further about startups, talking further about the book fair, talking further about Columbia. So this is me, Richard McColl, signing off just for the next minute or so. And I will be right back. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl, second section of the show. Later on, we will be talking to Alex Torrenegra of Bunny Inc. I'm going to just talk a little bit later about him and the article that brought my attention to him and who he is. Well, of course, I should know who he is, but equally, you know, so many people nowadays and social media and so on. But equally, he wrote an excellent article on his blog, which is torrenegra.com. I will refer to that later on in this section of the show today, you know, taking out some snippets, some quotes and whatever to give you an idea of what really he's getting at. Alex Torrenegra, this startup guru, this entrepreneur, Colombian but based in Bogota and San Francisco. We get to talk to him in San Francisco, and we're both honored and flattered to have done so. I also want to draw attention to some great friends of mine, some people who I support, you know, no holds barred, because they are a young, dynamic group of Colombians from various universities getting together. We've had them on the show many months ago, called Five Bogota. You might remember them, you know, fun group of individuals. So this is a shout out to Diana Guerra, Diana Zuluaga, Paula Zuluaga, Maria Camila, and the rest of them, who really have been pushing the envelope in trying to promote authentic Colombian experiences, first of all here in Bogota, for tourism, both national and international. You can go out and go on their tours and do empanada making and various other things. They've got a graffiti tour and so on and so forth. But it's really interesting, and I'm very pleased to announce that they have won a prize recently for creative tourism. You know, it's a, you know, very good. You know, this is a startup as well, all internet based, all enthusiastic, and they've won a creative friendly award by the Creative Tourism Network. Again, great that Colombia and Bogota should be at the fore of these things. So this is a big shout out to them. If you want to know more about what these guys are doing, get involved. You can just go back, you know, like to last year's shows, easily found on iTunes, easily found on my websites, and you can look up Five Bogota and you'll hear about their policy and their plans. And, you know, it's just something that's needed for Bogota. We've needed people to start, so let's say, carving out a tourism niche, you know, finding a tourism identity for the city. Yes, sure, there's Montserrat. Yes, sure, there's the Gold Museum. Yes, now we've got a recognition of the graffiti. It is a graffiti city. It's great, the political message. But what else? How can we get more people to spend more time in Bogota and understand our city? You know, it's a much maligned city. So there we go. So it was a big shout out to them at Five Bogota about that. And you can just check out their website. That's five as in the new number, fivebogota.com. And you can see all of their different offerings on there. Everybody knows that I like to support sort of, you know, small grassroots, locally run and you know, altruistic types of outfits. So that's a good thing for me there. Yes, that was Five Bogota. The other mention, a huge mention out there too, Bogota and Beyond. Bogota and Beyond are a small, again, another small outfit, obviously, as you would imagine, based here. And they do different, initiatives here in the city. They've got a Septima treasure hunt challenge. They do hikes up into nearby national parks. Anyway, I was contacted by Tommy of Bogota and Beyond, and he wants to put our book up there. And, well, he has put our book up there in a competition. You win the competition, you win a copy of the book. So I'm just going to read it out. He's got it on his website. That's bogotaandbeyond.com. Just look up the blog section. And the competition is, as the book is entitled, Was Gabo an Irishman? And now I'm just going to read it out. It says, to celebrate the release of the must-read book, Was Gabo an Irishman? Featuring 26 tales about Colombia from writers around the globe, we are giving out a free copy to the best short story written about their travels or experience in Colombia. The winner will also be invited to the book launch in late May. Now, the story will be judged by Richard McCall, that's me, editor of one of the editors of Was Gabo an Irishman? And the criteria will be based on style, emotional value, originality, and have, obviously, a strong connection to Colombia. So the deadline is May 15th. You've got a little over 15 days yet to get your little story in, and the winner will be announced on Monday, May the 18th, here on Colombia Calling, and also on the Bogota and Beyond website. So we'll get it together. I see there's one short story. It's called The Pulling Power of Colombia by Natalia Garcia Amaya. I will have a read of that shortly. Number two, we've got Que Hermoso País by Catherine Lawson of Canada. And yes, I've heard from Tommy that more have come in. So as soon as they're up, we'll be up. You know, he filters out the ones that he wants to put on the website and so on. Very interesting. We're very flattered to be up there. I've put it on our Facebook page as well. So look that up again. That's www.bogotaandbeyond.com blogs, and there we are, and you have the Was Gabo an Irishman a competition there, so you get to win a copy of our book. That was we talked about some months ago, one of the first, I think the first show of January this year, with myself, Caroline Doherty de Novoa, and Victoria Kellaway, we are the three editors of the book Was Gabo an Irishman, which brings together a whole bunch of stories written by Colombians and foreigners, inspired by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, taking in different parts of the country and ensuring that we get a different message about Colombia out there. Now, this book, I'm very proud to say, is on the shelves in the book fair. That's the Bogota Book Fair going on at the moment in Bogota, in the Corferias Convention Center, so sort of out west, a little bit out west, but only a 10-minute cab ride from downtown, from the Candelaria, from Chapinero, and so on. It costs 7,000 pesos to get in. It's going on until another 10 days, I would say, it's running for. And the most exciting thing is that we have been invited to display and sell this book in the Macondo Pavilion, because Macondo is the invited nation this year. There's a whole pavilion set up for this mythical town, much based on the Aracataca, where Gabriel Garcia Marquez was born. He is the figure of Colombian literature at the moment. Of course, he died exactly a year ago now, the 17th of April, 2014. Anyway, our book was released, Was Gabo an Irishman, was released on the 1 year anniversary of his passing. So we were invited by them, very kindly by the Madriguera del Conejo bookstore, to have our book there in the bookstore at the very end of the Macondo Pavilion. And we were there last Friday doing a book signing, which was a great learning curve. I don't know if anyone out there has ever done a book signing before. I know that my co-editors have done that, but I'd never done a book signing before. It's hard work, especially when you're selling an English book to a Hispanic market. You're explaining why Gabriel Garcia Marquez, we might have taken him and asked if he's Irish, and explaining that these are different essays from all around Colombia, from all around the world, but you know, with Gabo as the main spine, obviously, of interest. And we shifted books. We signed books. There was one family who bought about five. together. Interestingly enough, a Colombian family of Irish descent, the Quinn family, or Queen, as they said in Spanish, in Hispanic English. Anyway, so that was very exciting for us. We shifted books. It was an unannounced book signing. We hadn't planned it. It was unplanned. We were there. We had a word with the lady Lucia in charge. Very kindly, she said, "Yeah, sit down, have a signing, see if you can shift some." And we did. And so, on the strength of that, we have been invited back Friday, the 1st of May. We will be there from 2 till 3, maybe 4 if it goes well. We will be there in the bookstore signing copies of our book to people who buy it. So don't miss out. We hope to see a lot of known faces and new faces, get to know a whole new crowd of people. Come on down, please, and talk. Have a word with us. We're very open people, and not only will the three editors be there, myself, Caroline, and Vicky, but the other contributors. I know that Kevin Howlett of Columbia Politics, Karen Atman of Flavors of Bogota. I know that who else will be coming? Gwen Bernier, who did the story about Urabá, will be there. Fetz Vistra, who's a Dutchman, who's also selling postcards. He's a photographer and a journalist. He's got postcards on display. He's also been interviewed on Columbia Calling. He will be there too. There will be Jessica Wong of One Chinese in Colombia. One Chinese in Bogota. She's been on the show as well. Unfortunately, Naomi Dalton will be in England, so she won't be here to sign. But fantastic that we could get so many people along. And let me think, Emma Newbery of the Bogota Post, who submitted a very good essay, will be there as well. The Bogota Post, who've just had their 1 year anniversary. They've been going strong for 1 year, so congratulations to them. Apologies that I couldn't make the 1 year party. You know, it's these things, being a father of a newborn, it's a whole different kettle of fish, I have to say. I can't possibly commit to these sorts of things late at night. Anyway, so who else will be there? Unfortunately, Tim Buendia, I think, is in the US or in Holland, so he won't be there. Peter Dale will be there. Tara Days is in Holland as well, bizarrely. Sarah Duncan is in Australia, but she'll be back in July. Camille Mansell, again, who wrote about witches in Santa Marta, she'll be there. Charis McGowan is in Chile, but will be back up in Sincelejo later in the year. Juan Manuel Rodriguez, who wrote a very good essay, one of our Colombian contributors, will be there as well, signing. Colin Post is in Peru. Jordi Reich, the ex head of the International Red Cross here in Colombia, unfortunately will not be present, but Dr. Clara Irene Reyes will be there as well. She was on the show when we interviewed people, when we did the show on the Bogota Writers Group. So it's very cool that we got so many people. Asif Santillan, a personal friend, is in Brazil working. Courtney Strickland, I think, will be coming into Bogota for that from Medellin. Not sure about Barry Max Wills, but I know that Carlos Mario Zavaleta will be there too, the famous Vallenato artist, signing copies of the books. He wrote the prologue, and so we're very excited to have all of these people over doing that. So it'll be a big crowd of us, all giving different perspectives on why they wrote what they wrote. And so that's pretty exciting for us. And so if you want to get your hands on that, you can find it at the Madriguera del Conejo bookstore. We'll be in other bookstores later on. And, of course, in the Macondo bookstore at the end of the Macondo Pavilion in the Bogota Book Fair. But, of course, if you don't want to go out and buy it, then get involved at the Bogota and Beyond competition. That's bogotaandbeyond.com blogs. And they've got the competition where you can win a copy of the book. But just check it out. Check out the criteria for entering and so on and so forth. Now, I've got another 8 minutes before we go into the interview with Alex Torrenegra. I want to jump over that, but before I quickly go into that, next week's show will be an interview with Ben Hockman, who we've had on the show before, who is a security specialist based here in Colombia, and he will be talking about we've got a topic on the agenda, how any peace process agreed in Colombia will affect security issues in the country. So very interesting interview coming up. And then the week after that, we'll be doing another literary one where outgoing Canadian diplomat and author of the Gem of Praline, who we've had on the show as well, will be taking over as host for 1 week. And he will be interviewing myself, Caroline Doherty de Novo, and Vicky Kellaway, Banana Skin Flip Flops. He'll be interviewing us about the book and how we came about it. And I know at the very moment he is reading the book very fast, so he's getting ready so he can reread it and make informed questions and direct informed questions to us. So that's quite exciting change of tact there for a couple of weeks down the line. So Alex Torrenegra will be coming up soon. I want to just to give you the background, look up his website, torrenegra.com. Now, what brought my attention to him was, of course, his article, "It's difficult to innovate in Colombia, especially when the government does more harm than good." Now, it's been shared, well, you look at it, I mean, it's just gone out of control. And it's a very frank but very well-informed article about startups in Colombia and the situation in Colombia. Now, you know what kind of person Alex Torrenegra is, because look at the catch line on his website: working on enabling humankind to reach its full potential. So this blog with this article that he wrote really does itemize some situations in Colombia which are not favorable to startups and entrepreneurship. And so we are talking about, if I open it, Exhibit A, one of the problems is Diego Molano, the Ministry of Technology and Communications of Colombia, recently announced that he will be investigating Uber and Tapsi. Of course, now, you know, they're supposed to be promoting apps. So that's one way. Exhibit B, Colombia has the sixth largest total tax rate. That's amazing. So the starting a company in Colombia is extremely difficult and expensive. Exhibit C, some government entities are having success promoting entrepreneurship. However, this success is limited by government forces outside of their control. So he can go on. This guy knows what he's talking about. So if you are thinking and getting involved in this sort of thing, do read this. Follow him on Twitter. That's Bunny Inc. on Twitter and so on. Torrenegra.com. Really, really a good article to read. And this is someone you can see all over the place. You can see on the Wall Street Journal. You can see in various things. And you know, he's not trying to be, controversial. He's just saying how it is. You know, is that untoward? And of course, he's written it in Spanish too. So, if for those of you thinking of, you know, who have a little bit more difficulty or it's more natural reading in Spanish, you know, it is up there in Spanish as well. Es difícil innovar en Colombia cuando son bueno. Es difícil innovar en Colombia, sobre todo cuando el gobierno hace más males que bienes. So, you know, it's someone who really knows what he's talking about. And so we get him on the show in 4 brief minutes. He'll be back. He'll be on the show with us from San Francisco talking about the situation, talking a little bit about his past. We only got 25 minutes with him because he's an incredibly busy person. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know, we are flattered and honored, as I've said before, to have him on the show. Alex Torrenegra. Follow him on Twitter. Follow the company if you want to know what's going on in startups and the entrepreneur system in Colombia. Really interesting. Fantastic to have someone of this gravitas talking to us and to, you know, just spread the word about the situation. So very exciting week for us here at Colombia Calling. Not only is the book Was Gabo an Irishman on sale at the book fair in the Macondo Pavilion. Go and check it out. Come on Friday, May the 1st, between 2 and more or less 4, because we'll have a bunch of authors there signing the book, talking about it. It's going to be a great event because, you know what? There's a buzz around this book, and then we'll be there. So that's it. And then, of course, let's give another shout out to our friends at Bogota and Beyond. They've got the competition on the website. We really want people to get involved because they're doing great things here in Bogota, promoting and expanding the offer of tourism. Things of interest to tourists. That's key. So yeah, I'm going to sign off now. And when I come back, we're going to be talking to Alex Torrenegra here on Colombia Calling. As always, we enjoy emails from you. That's colombiacalling@gmail.com. There is You can get in touch with us through our website, columbiacallingradio.com, and of course through Twitter. I am constantly on Twitter at Columbia Calling, and our Facebook site, where I put up all sorts of things about Columbia, about things going on here, and that's just Columbia Calling on Twitter. It's very easy to find out. Just to recap, we will have Ben Hockman on next week talking about if there's an eventual peace dialogues, peace accord signed, how this will affect the security situation in Colombia. And then the week after that, we'll have Ian McKinley, the author of the Gallows Gem of Pralin, the author of that book, fantasy novel, and a diplomat from the Canadian Embassy. He will be taking over the show for that week, talking and interviewing myself, Caroline Doherty de Novoa, and Vicky Kellaway about the book, Was Gabo an Irishman? And now I apologize for plugging it so much, but this is, you know, this is the way of the world. This is the way it has to be. We have to get out there and push our products and hope that in an altruistic fashion, those of you will, you know, one of you might pick it up and then pass it on to another friend. We're trying to promote a different idea of Colombia. We're trying to show our love. I, for example, have been here for 9 years. You know, this is a long time. It's time to get the word out. Things are changing in Colombia. So thank you so much for listening. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Alex Torrenegra of Bunny Inc. talking to us about his blogs, his articles, and the entrepreneurial situation in Colombia. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we've got a very special guest on the show today. It's Alex Torrenegra, who is the startup guy. You know, if we're talking about Colombian startups, we're talking about entrepreneurship. Alex Torrenegra, you've appeared in the Wall Street Journal. You've been feted by MIT. You're a graduate of Stanford. How does a guy who was once flipping burgers in McDonald's now come to be like, you know, the go-to guy for when you talk about innovation in Colombia?
Well, thanks a lot for the invite, Richard. I think that first of all, I only took like a 2-week class in Stanford. I have it on my LinkedIn, but I didn't took extended classes in Stanford, not because I didn't like the idea, but because probably didn't have the money to do it when I was actually I had the time to actually do so. Anyway, going back to your original question, the reason I ended up flipping hamburgers in McDonald's is because from the get-go I wanted to play with technology. And when I had the chance of visiting the U.S. for the first time, I became obsessed with the idea of working with a tech company, and I quickly realized that my English wasn't that good. So the only thing that I was eventually able to do was to actually flip hamburgers in McDonald's and work on the overnight shift, cleaning the floors and sometimes cleaning the bathrooms and such. But it had an objective, and it was to eventually be able to once again work on the technology field in the U.S. And that obsession actually started back in Colombia when I was 4 years of age, and I saw a computer for the first time, and I became obsessed with the idea of using computers. Initially to play, of course, being a four-year-old, the only objective that I saw for the usage of a computer was to play video games. But eventually I learned how useful they were, and all of the things that could be innovated and research and explore using computers. So a lot of people today probably refer to what we do as entrepreneurship, and they invite me to give talks about tech entrepreneurship and such. But I think that for us and for most members of my team, entrepreneurship is just a way of monetizing tech innovation. But we are obsessed with tech innovation first, and then entrepreneurship second. Entrepreneurship is a way of monetizing innovation so that you can continue innovating. And I think I'm misquoting to some extent Thomas Alva Edison on that front.
That's fine. We'll take your word for it, Alex. And now I'm curious because you know I'm not a tech guy or anything. But I often talk to people thinking of coming to Colombia to live, to invest. And you know, if we were only to read the sort of positive reports, I guess paid for reports by the government in the Financial Times and other places, you know, Colombia is the next tech capital. Colombia's at Bogota will be the next Silicon Valley. And then I guess it's now a few weeks ago, I found your blog, which is entitled "It's Difficult to Innovate in Colombia, Especially When the Government Does More Harm Than Good." I mean, you've packed some punches there. How did this come about?
Frustration, I think, but also I think that it's my responsibility to share my thoughts with others. As a tech leader in Colombia, if I'm not the one, if I don't speak up, who will be speaking up? It's my responsibility as a human being, not even as a Colombian, as a human being, to share this kind of concerns. Now, there are many other people that might agree with me on this front, but the fact that the Colombian government has many fronts today where they are trying to help, especially with contracts and subsidies, entities that are trying to promote entrepreneurship. The fact that the government is doing that also means that people that might not agree, most people that might not agree with what the government is doing, can't speak up. Because if they cannot, because if they do, they might be hurting the feelings of people that they are doing business with. So I think that few people have the independence today to actually speak their minds the way that I was able to do.
And it's been incredibly popular, this blog. And I mean, from looking at the comments on it, most people seem to agree with you.
Well, I'm not trying to attack anybody. I'm just raising issues that are straightforward and almost non-debatable. I mean, we all know that it's very complex to create a company in Colombia. You have to do a lot of paperwork. You have to go to many different fronts. You are liable in way more ways and you pay way more taxes than if you were to open a similar company anywhere else in the planet, pretty much, at least compared to the U.S. It's easier for a Colombian to create a company in the U.S. and to grow it and to close it, if they have to close it, than it is without ever coming to the U.S., then it will be to do the same paperwork in Colombia. So there is a lot of stuff that we have to do in Colombia in order to get there. But that's just one of the several points that I shared in the article. So I think it's easy for people to agree with me because it's a fact. It's not even an opinion.
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, I mentioned in our previous emails, I have a little hotel, and I tell you, the paperwork involved, I mean, it's as if, you know, there's all of this idea that investment, foreign investment and so on is being promoted and pushed forward. But on no level is it easy to do so, I have to say.
Yeah, it's not easy, especially for the small entrepreneur.
Yeah.
At certain levels, I mean, when you're doing business with big numbers, there is always going to be paperwork involved, and investing in attorneys, investing in all of the legal stuff that you have to invest, it's usually the price of doing business at a major scale. But that shouldn't be the case for the small business person. An entrepreneur shouldn't have to invest weeks and months in order to set up a company. I think that complex paperwork should be left for the big guys or the companies as they grow up, but not when they are getting started.
This is true. Now you are the CEO, you're the director of Bunny Inc. Now, tell us a little bit about this company, Bunny Inc.
So Bunny Inc. is one of the many companies that I co-founded. I'm not necessarily proud of the fact that I'm a serial entrepreneur. I think that those shows that I have lacked attention for many years. But it's definitely the most successful one, and it's the one what I've been focused on for over 3 years now, and where I'm planning on retiring if one day I end up retiring. And Bunny Inc., it's a company that it's the combination or the result of combining two premises. One premise is that we think that the future of humankind is going to the value of the work of humankind is shifting from being based on the physical labor that people can do and the logical work that people can do to how creative people are. And this is because the industrial revolution happened and eventually the digital revolution happened. So the more creative people in the future are going to be the people that are probably best compensated because they are going to be the most valuable. Then that's one premise. The other premise is that more and more there is liquidity at the job in the job marketplace. And that liquidity means that the faster the matching process happens, the better, because it becomes a spiral, a cycle. The faster you can match professionals with projects, and the faster you can match projects with professionals, the more liquid the market becomes, and the easier for people and for companies it is to find the projects where they should be working together. And so you take that second premise, you combine it, and you come up to what we are developing in Bunny Inc. Bunny Inc., we create systems so that companies can easily outsource their creative needs, and our algorithms, our machine learning stuff, ends up automatically identifying the best people in the planet for that specific project that a company gave us. And not only that, it also automatically handles the project management and delivers process performance quality control and delivers the work to our client. That way we allow companies to predict quality, predict timing, and predict pricing, which is something that just general open marketplaces don't allow to do. What we do is called end-to-end marketplaces. We have multiple brands. The most popular brand we have is called Voice Bunny, which is already the largest production service of voiceovers in the planet. All of those voices that you get to listen in podcasts like this one, or phone systems, or video games, or TV ads, radio ads, you have to find those voices somehow. Well, many people already use our service to get those voices. We have over 200,000 different voice actors in our system in over 100 countries all over the planet. And all of this technology, all of our operations, most of our team is based out of Bogota. We are almost 60 people in the company. Over 50% of those are based out of our Bogota office. We have a small office here in San Francisco, but we are changing the world with Colombian manpower, Colombian mindset.
Fantastic. It's so exciting for me, you know, a foreigner who's been here for 9 years, you know, and I often get the comment, people saying, oh, you know, why couldn't a Colombian do this? And I say, well, you are that Colombian. You are doing the stuff that needs to be done. It's so exciting. It's inspirational to hear that, because so often it isn't the way. But so you're working all over the world. Companies all over the world are coming to you, to Bunny Inc.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the Colombian market is a relatively small market for us. Most of our clients, most of the professionals that we work with are based out of the U.S., around 50%. The other 50% is spread all over the world, UK, Australia, Germany. We are expanding now to Japan, China next year.
Oh, you really are a success story. So, but as I mean, you are a voice to be listened to. People do know your name. You know, the rudimentary research that I have found, you know, investigating for this, but people know who you are. But and you know, you are a proud Colombian, because Colombians are proud by their nature. What would you say to, let's say, Colombians thinking of returning to Colombia now, or foreigners thinking of coming to Colombia to invest? What advice would you give them?
I think there are plenty of opportunities. I wouldn't bet on the government to help you, but that doesn't mean that there are not opportunities in Colombia. There are opportunities both for establishing businesses that depend on the Colombian economy or target the general Colombian economy. And there are also opportunities tapping the talent of Colombia, which is what we have done. Given that most people have not seen Colombia as a center for innovation, there are many great people, many great minds that are going to be really excited if you pitch them the idea of changing the world from Colombia.
This is true. So how, I mean, you're in San Francisco or Bogota at the moment?
Today I'm in San Francisco.
Today in San Francisco. Thursday you're somewhere else. But let's say, very good, very nice way. So we are in San Francisco. It's, I tell you, it's very cold here at Bogota today. But how do you see then, from your standpoint, the future of Colombia? And I'm, you know, let's try and leave the government out of it, because I don't think they're here to help either. But that's a...
I think it's a difficult question, because one thing is what I like to see happening. Another thing is what is very likely to happen. I know that we are betting, many people are betting in Colombia becoming the next innovation hub and such. I don't think that's going to happen for two reasons, especially if they refer to Colombia or Bogota as the next Silicon Valley. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. A, because Silicon Valley, it's... what has made Silicon Valley, it's the fact that they try to do things differently, right? So you cannot pretend to copy Silicon or to become a Silicon Valley by copying. You have to be unique to begin with. So we might become a center for some kind of innovation in the future, probably, hopefully, but it's definitely not going to be anything that resembles what Silicon Valley has. It shouldn't. Now, on the other hand, I do think, as I mentioned a few moments ago, that the best way of promoting tech entrepreneurship is to push for tech innovation. And I don't see strong forces in Colombia pushing for that, other than the small group of tech innovators that is starting to show up in Colombia. But we are talking about probably a couple dozen successful companies, maybe a few hundred startups that are trying to make it. And that's small. I mean, when you're talking of a country of dozens of millions of people, having a few hundred companies trying to do that means that the ratio is very unbalanced. So I do think that the future of Colombia, at least midterm, is going to continue depending on the economies that it has depended during the previous few decades, which has been primarily natural resources. Hopefully we can move over, switch over to a service economy, but what I would embed on that really, at least for the next decade or so.
No, it would be a tough one, that one, definitely, to push, for example, this government into moving, you know, the investments away from, you know, the natural resources. It's going to be very difficult indeed, and even in this economic climate. You were mentioning there's a very small amount of sort of tech startups in Colombia, but there is this, you know, the Ministry of Technology and Communications, and a few months ago, I interviewed someone who works there in their program with apps.co, and they seem to think it's a, you know, a real success story. What do you think about this apps.co?
I think that they have done a lot of great things on that front, especially promoting entrepreneurship. I think that they still have to invest more time in terms of actually promoting tech innovation per se, but I understand the limitations that they have. I find, however, and this is one of the things that I mentioned in the article, difficult to comprehend how, on one hand, they are trying to promote entrepreneurship and app development, which they do, and then on the other hand, they criticize openly, publicly, tools like Tapsi or Uber. Tapsi being one of the most popular taxi apps in Colombia, but also being one of the apps that they themselves, apps.co, ended up helping create. So they became apps. Tapsi became so successful that the same entity that helped them is now openly investigating them to determine if what they are doing now is legal. So it's mixed messages that might end up, as I mentioned in the article, doing more harm than good. Because I've noticed that Colombia are very respectful of the law. Many Colombians had the idea of creating Uber before Uber existed. But every time that I talk to one of them, they say, oh, no, I'm not going to do it because there are many regulations in here. We don't want to break the law. And it's okay, but when Uber was created here in the U.S., they were breaking the law. But they knew that if they broke the law and they created something that was very useful, eventually the government was going to help them become legal. And effectively, that happened. San Francisco legalized Uber a few years after it got started. I don't think that entrepreneurs in Colombia feel that kind of backup, and as such, they're more afraid of doing things that might push the envelope too much initially. But that's the way that you end up innovating.
Yes, it's true. I think you have a very strong point there. Of course, the Uber Tapsi example is the most famous one. And I don't know how in tune you are with the news, but even this morning, some of the taxi drivers surrounded an Uber car and smashed its windows in last night. I mean, you know, this kind of behavior can't go on, but that's just, you know, emotion there. But you, as you say, the sort of duplicitous mixed messages and the government not supporting this, you know, initially saying, yes, this is great. We are an innovator. And then saying, hang on, and you said it in the article, don't upset the status quo. So it's very interesting indeed to speak to you, Alex. I just think, but of course, I mean, Colombia, like you said, there's so much going for the country. But you know, we have to, I guess what we're getting at is that something has to change in the regulations and the lawmaking. Is that what you'd think?
Yes, but I wouldn't bet on that. One of the things that I have recently learned to appreciate is how all of those new technologies that are being created, not only here in Silicon Valley, but all over the planet, including the kind of technologies that we are creating at Bunny Inc., are helping people all over the world depend less and less in the government. Today, probably the most powerful educational tool that exists is not a tool created by any single government. It's Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is a non-for-profit created by tech people. Today, people learn more from Wikipedia than what they probably learn from their teachers. And that's just one tool out of many. And the same applies to many other things. I mean, the taxi example again. Taxis in most cities used to be a mess to deal with. Now, thanks to technologies like Uber, Lyft, Tapsi, it's much easier to move from one place to another. So all of those tools are helping build solutions that are replacing the needs that used to be fulfilled by governments. So I'm betting first, I will bet first in those kind of technologies helping humankind evolve as opposed to governments, whether it's the Colombian government or any other government, actually adapt to the needs that we as humans have.
Fascinating stuff, Alex. Fascinating. And I want to just quote, you know, we'll wind this down now because I know you're very busy, but I just want to quote the last sentence of one of your pieces in the Wall Street Journal. It says, Colombia still has a long way to go, but maybe one day other emerging economies may also stop trying to copy Silicon Valley and will start copying the Arepa Valley model. I like that very much. There's a good bit of humor in there, but it's true, isn't it? It's what you were saying. I mean,
Yeah. We need to find ourselves and determine what we are good at and try to be the best at that.
Well, listen, thank you very much for your time. I know you're very busy. I just say to the listeners out there, it's been a real treat to have Alex Torrenegra, the CEO and founder of Bunny Inc., co-founder of the Hub Bog, Bogo Dev, Bogo Tech, some of the three largest tech communities in Colombia. He's taken 20 minutes out of his time to talk to us here today on Colombia Calling. So again, thank you so much for your time. And listen, keep those articles coming because they inform us, you know, and we love to know what's going on, even from down here in Bogota.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. And very quickly, we are always hiring. So engineers, operations, Colombians, people living outside of Colombia that wants to move to Colombia, we are always hiring great minds that want to change the world and maximize the positive effect that they are going to have in humankind.
Perfect. You heard it here first on Colombia Calling. Bunny Inc. and all of the other subsidiaries are hiring Alex Torrenegra. Thank you very much for your time. Listen, I wish you all the best with all your future projects and tune in. I will, of course, let you know when everything is being broadcast in time, but tune in to Colombia Calling. Spread the word to your friends, please, because I'm just a little guy in a big pond down here.
Thanks a lot, Richard. I will.